When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
A revolution in podcasts. That's it.
There you go.
Danny, unmute yourself.
Oh,
I just read your lips go, God damn it.
I said, God damn it. You know what? I can't recapture it. I think I said the funniest thing I've ever said, but I can't.
You can't say it twice.
It just won't be fresh.
It's just
I won't do that.
Oh. It's between you and the Lord at this point.
That's some Southern Bay City stuff right there, Jimmy.
That is. Yeah,
that is not a New Jersey expression, I'll tell you that.
No.
Well, not something that people tend to say to a Jewish fellow, right?
No, we have a Lord.
No, you, well.
You don't think we have a God? You are a freaking monster. First of all, I don't even practice. But
by the way, look at my shirt.
Oh, yeah, I love you. All I saw were your
my sweet
phenomenal,
titties.
Your sweet, sweet.
I don't mind you saying it because they're pretty awesome, so. Right ahead.
Oh, you're very proud of them.
Yeah, I think they should sponsor the podcast.
You get a couple drinks in you and boy, you just talk about your boobs like they walked by and you were a construction worker.
Dude, I could have a Gatorade and talk about them. I don't even need booze.
You just need like a bunch of butt pics like by a pool and you're all of a sudden you're an Instagram just 500,000 followers on there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just like squeezing them together talking about how blessed I feel. Yeah,
I mean you've already heard our guest talk. Jenny, would you mind introducing our guest to America?
I would be honored. Okay. Our guest is one of my very best friends. Mm. And Danny, you're one of my very best friends, so this is extra special for me. Oh, it is musician, country singer, Houstonian, Aggie.
Say that.
Yep. Hard-carrying Mensa member, right? Is that
yep.
true? Yep.
Yeah.
Rich O'Toole. Yeah. Rich O'Toole, everybody.
Holy shit.
What's up?
Give him a big old fashioned doing it yeehaw.
Give him a giddy up, everybody. Here
yeah.
he is. Yeah. Well, Rich, thank you so much for doing the podcast. This is special for me.
Yeah, I've been a big fan. I feel like I'm like the least star y'all have on. Y'all have like major celebrities on.
Yeah, you definitely are. I mean,
yeah. Like, so it's an honor being here. Thank you.
You're the worst guest we've had this year.
I feel like it's like when you turn on the Tonight Show and you see someone get bumped and you're like, who the hell is this? You know, it's like that kind of feel.
It was, we canceled, 20 people canceled. And so I'm really glad you got the chance. And you know, once my mom couldn't do it, I thought, yeah, let's have Rich on.
Yeah. I mean, understandable.
So Rich, okay, let's get it. You're in Houston right now.
I am, yeah.
And so I will explain, like you are a traveling man. You're a musician, you travel all the time, but you've lived. Rich will do something that I'm always impressed with. You will move to a place for like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, sometimes by accident. I mean, I lived in LA for 5 years, then I moved back to Texas. Uh-huh. Then I was like, I missed LA. I went back to LA. Then I lived in New York City for 6 months. Then I bought a house in Nashville. Lived there about a year and a half, and I got sick of it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see my mom in Houston. So I'm in an apartment here. But my job, we always have to tour. So I'm always on the road. So when I have a wife, I'm still single. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't have to be, you know, what I should be doing is I should be living in like a different state every month, like in an Airbnb, and just go see the world. Cause it kind of helps you write, you know, writing records and writing songs. If you're in the same place, you kind of get stale a little bit, you know?
I find that way even with writing that isn't set to music. It's like getting out, like going into nature, going to see someplace you haven't been, always inspiring.
The same way. Like I'll get full writer's block if I'm just stuck in one place. It's like even just going and running an errand, I'm like, I'm clocking everything that's happening so I can get some form of inspiration for like, what did the bank teller just do? She made a weird face. Maybe I'll think of something that I can.
I'm the same. I mean, I've stayed in pretty much every hotel in the LA area because whenever I write a script, I to get myself motivated, I need a change of environment and
Sequester yourself and
I just have to because it's like I guess like also I know I'm spending money on the room and it's like you better get some shit done to justify this.
Yeah.
Like you're giving yourself your deadline by renting it.
Have you been recording during this period of time?
I have been, yeah. Actually, I got a cool job. The record label I was with, actually, they were like, hey, do you want to start your own label? And we'll give you an imprint. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I basically became like a record, label head kind of, and they gave me an imprint. So I'm basically releasing my own records through the record label I was with. So we've been signing new acts and like I've been recording. We have a new song coming out called 17 Wild Horses. It comes out in February. It's kind of based on Yellowstone, the TV show. So I've been kind of, we've been really working with them, trying to pitch it to them and yada, yada, yada. So it's got that like Western rock feel to it. Oh, but yeah, I've been trying to stay busy. I mean, when I'm not doing shows, I've been really good about the coronavirus. I don't want to do shows, honestly. I played a couple and it was just kind of depressing. So yeah, I've been flying to Nashville quite a bit and jumping in the studio and just getting a lot of material done, you know, for the, just so I have it stacked up.
Yeah.
Before you came on, I was in a writer's group and I was mentioned, a writer I work with is just huge. He just knows everything about country music, talks about it, loves it. And not that I don't love it, but I don't know as much as he does. And I mentioned you that we were seeing, and he was like, oh my God, I love that guy. He then played me over the Zoom. The cover of your version of the Wilco song.
Casino Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love Wilco. And I love what you do with that. It's great. I just wanted to say like props.
No, thanks. Yeah. We had, Pat Green, Jenny, you know, that Jenny probably like lost her virginity at a Pat Green concert.
Oddly enough, I was not a Pat Green fan.
No, you weren't.
Must not have been very good. Huh?
So you know, Pat was, it was a duet. It's me and Pat sang that song together. Yeah. So it was cool. No, I appreciate it. You know, the funny thing about country music right now is like my hardest job is like with like Trump and all this like BS that's going on. It's so hard for me to say I sing country music because I really don't anymore. It's like it's almost like a division. You know, it's like if there was a comedy writer that got elected president and everyone hated him, you'd be like, I'm a comedy writer, but.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just so hard. It's like such a weird thing.
I wonder if I can ask you about that though, because for me, can't you see that as an opportunity like to not get in line? And isn't like all music a little bit about rebellion? I mean, even, you know, Johnny Cash didn't play by the rules and you know, by any means. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity because country music, it feels like there's opportunity to distinguish yourself from that. And I don't know.
There is, you know, Jason Isbell is really good at doing
that's
that.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
My label was just like, we talked about it in a meeting and I said, hey guys, you know, 6 months ago, I was like, hey, I really want to tell my fans that I've been dying to say it. Like, I don't like Trump, you know, and I voted for Biden and I can't say that. I know people are listening to this podcast, but I'm okay with that. You know, and my label's like, look, you're just going to lose. We did the research. You're going to lose 4% of your fan base. And I'm like, that's fine. You know,
24% so I think, that you, know, you didn't want to begin with.
I didn't want that to begin with. And it's a way to kind of restart and let people know where you take a stand. And honestly, the people that ride or die with you will probably appreciate that. But I always like, for me, I was like the Elvis quote. He's like, dude, look, I'm not a politician. I'm a musician. I'll just stay out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was tough. But when the thing went down at the Capitol, I set a shit ton of tweets out and I was like, fuck this. Tough.
Yeah.
I'm done. You know, and I want you to know where I stand on this deal.
Well, I got to say, though, the impact somebody like you has, and I know that there's a cost. I don't pretend to not
yeah,
know
no,
the cost when you do it. But, like, I think about, Jenny, we talked about this in a previous podcast, yeah. but, like, Jim Gaffigan, the comedian Jim Gaffigan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who, you know, has a huge Red State following, is very clean comic, and brilliantly funny.
Yeah.
Part of it. But, like, when he comes out and says, this is monstrous what's going on in Washington.
Yeah.
It has so much more impact than when, like, lefty Jew boy comedy writer says it. I'm pointing to myself.
yeah, you know, it would be more shocking, Danny, if you were like, love Trump.
He's yeah, exactly. yeah. So like, and it's like, there is something to be said for being courageous about it. I mean,
And Natalie Maines, like, well, I was going to say, Rich, you know, as hard as it is, I think, because I would have, you know, like, I try, I mean, now I feel like Danny, probably because of this podcast and what everything Trump has done, we've talked more about politics
yeah.
on this podcast when this was supposed to just be talking about comedy. But because
right.
of how fucking atrocious he's been, how can you not talk about it? How can anybody be on board? And I think for you, like, yes, if you're going to lose fans, obviously, you said you've lost followers, you're also going to gain a whole new audience of people going, hey, fuck, great.
You are. And I should, Danny was right. I should have used it early on. Honestly, 2 years ago, I should have just jumped on the train and said, I don't agree with this. I'm sorry. And just lost them then. You know, it's kind of like ripping a bandaid off. You just kind of wait and finally got to be like, all right, shit, let's rip it, man. Let's go.
Yeah, and then you realize, oh, that bandaid has been rotten this whole time.
It's been rotten the whole time. I was
like keeping it on my fucking hand.
But I got to say, Rich, it's like, I think you're doing it at the right time. I'm doing it when it, like, became too much. It's like, you know, it revealed itself to you. It's not like you had to do it before, but, like, you know, we are in a crisis right now. And
yeah.
And so I would, it's like, look. I was watching all day that the Congress. There are people who are cowering under desks who are still not ready to come out against it.
Yeah,
like their lives were. Mike Pence. They built a gallows for him. They were going to hang him.
Yeah,
and he still won't do it. So it's just like coming around to it is just like it's an act of bravery. I think it's good.
Yeah, I get it. I half of it is just the headache of, like, I enjoy getting on Twitter and following you and Jenny and, like, Pat Nozzle and stuff, because it's good writing. It's good, like, humor, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
When I get on, after I make a Trump comment, I go on Twitter, all of a sudden I got, like, you know, 2,000, you know, crazy people just tearing me apart, Googling my mom's maiden name, just, you know, the craziest shit. And you're like, I really even need the headache? Don't need to say anything. I just want to have peace and drink coffee today. I don't feel like seeing all these people freaking beat me up, you know? So I get it. It's a headache. And it is, Jenny, you made a good point. You said this is a comedy podcast and now we're talking about politics, but I think politics has gotten so ridiculous that it's actually comical now, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think
it really is.
It's almost impossible to not talk about it. It's like, how can you not address this huge fucking elephant in the room?
The Capitol thing was like watching a Mel Brooks film. Like that could have been a scene in, like, Blazing Saddles. Like, you're like,
dude, Blazing Saddles, the fight with the dancers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, dude, are you kidding me right now? Like, am I really watching, like, a Mel Brooks film right now?
I mean, it was one of the most atrocious things I've ever seen. And then every hour since then, we've just seen more and more video. We've heard more, like, first, you know, hand accounts of people, like, you know, some reporter from the Times was like, they ripped her lanyard off, pushed her down. Like, I mean, these really, like, just aggressive people, all based on what the president of the United States told them to do. Like,
and the Congress people who said it and know it's a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Osama bin Laden didn't fly the planes into the building. You know, right. He just convinced a bunch of people that they get 78 virgins.
Right, exactly.
And there's no fucking difference than these none of these Congress people or Trump believe there was voter fraud, for real. Maybe like Louie Gohmert, the really dumb ones, but even he doesn't. They all know this was a lie that they told. They got other people involved so that you could make the case. Those people who are doing it, I'm not forgiving them. They want to prosecute, I want them rotten in jail, but they think they're doing God's work. They don't see themselves as bad people. They believe that there was this huge fraud because the people, they are lying to them. So
I feel like the people that fucking flew the planes into the Twin Towers thought they were doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like they've been, it's brainwashing. It's true. Like, this is what we were told to do by our leader. So
I was a history minor. It reminds me a page right out of Nazi Germany. It really does. Like all the things are like correlating just exactly. It's like this guy gets up here and says this, and these people are just blinded by it and go out and do it. And it's scary. I mean, that's like one of the scariest things I've ever seen is like seeing that. It's definitely a big giant black eye for America, you know.
I can understand. I know, Richard, we've talked about it, like, you know, we've texted and talked about like how it would make you feel, you know, when you're looking, you know, once all this, the pandemic finally goes away, hopefully, like you're playing a concert, you're looking into the crowd and you're thinking, do you people believe in this guy? Are you, like, it's hard
for me. I mean, it's really hard for me. Like, yeah. I almost tweeted out yesterday. I was like, from here on out, you'll be asked to leave if you wear a Trump t-shirt to my concert. I just, like, I can't give you joy. I don't want to get up and give you joy. Yeah. And that's the hardest part in like country music. And like, I hope you will listen to this podcast, and I'm definitely going to retweet it. And I'm going to get it out there when this is done, because I really want people to hear my side of the deal. But like, it really is odd, because there are like half of my fan base really does believe Trump's like their Lord and Savior. It's like so crazy to me.
Well, maybe, you know, all I can say about that is it's like, you have to speak your truth. I mean, you can't be a fucking artist.
You can't.
If you're not being honest. And that doesn't mean you have to like attack or do anything like that, but you have to speak the truth. You're like in this, right, and you have to talk. It's like if we're on the Titanic and somebody says, do we have to talk about the boat sinking all the time? Can we talk about something else? No, the boat's fucking sinking.
The boat is sinking.
I'm just so tired of talking about how the boat's sinking. You know,
please, everyone, can we just finally move on?
The iceberg. I get it.
The iceberg hit it. Come on. You see the lobster tank?
I am apolitical on icebergs.
I know, Danny, you're totally right. And I did. I give so many hints. In my music, I had a single called Peter and Paul. And I mentioned Trump, and I mentioned the wall and the bridge. And people thought I was for Trump. I was like, are you not listening to this song? It's an anti-Trump rap, like, song. They still didn't get it. They mentally will spin stuff in their direction, no matter how obvious it is.
Whatever narrative they want
to
create.
Whatever narrative they want to believe, they believe. It's crazy to me.
No, they played for years at Republican rallies, Born in the USA.
Yeah.
And did you listen to the lyrics of Born in the USA?
Springsteen is like my idol. That's an anti-Vietnam, anti-American song.
Anti-imperialist American song. And how an anti-wage gap and anti, like, it's all about like progressive change.
Danny, you're a Jersey boy too, so that was extra. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Born in the USA. Like, you're the boss. My favorite, all-time favorite band is CCR. All-time.
Yeah.
Favorite.
Oh, yeah.
When Trump played Fortunate Son,
I couldn't believe it.
I thought my head was going to explode. I'm like, you're a fucking draft dodger. Are you serious? Like, oh my God.
Fortunate Son is the greatest protest song ever written.
Ever.
And it's Fortunate Son. That's you. You didn't have to go.
Yeah.
I love John Fogerty for like, stop fucking playing my song.
Oh,
like,
God.
I had dinner with John Fogerty. That was one of the coolest things I've ever got to do.
Tell me about that.
Oh my God.
He was amazing, man. My drummer at the time, Goose, who Jenny knows. You know, remember Goose, my first tour?
Yeah, Goose.
Good looking guy. Yeah, yeah.
Wu-Tang, yeah.
So Danny, like, the middle of my
picture one time of, he's like, this is my new band. I was like, who's the drummer? He's like, oh, that's Goose. I'm like, I bet he didn't get any pussy. Look at Goose. Yeah.
So what happened?
He was king of the tour bus, man. Yeah. So we're on the bus, and like, we get a phone call like into the tour, like, thank God. And Goose is like, hey, I just got an audition for Fogerty. Fogerty's looking for a new drummer. And so I was like, dude, go take it. We only have like one gig left, and we're taking off for like 6 months. And he gets the gig. And so like, their first gig, he invites me to the concert, and he's like, hey, me and John are going to have dinner. So I just show up, and I sit there for 45 minutes, and me and John just talk Telecasters and amps for like 45 minutes. And one of the smartest guys, nicest guys, you know, has his shit together. I mean, that goes to show you, like, if you don't do drugs and stay off the booze, like, you can have a really long career in rock and roll. And that guy's like 75.
I didn't know that about
Boo. Him. Boo. I know. We like our rock stars. But it's like, he's just so smart and talented, and still sings in the same key. Because I was asking him, I was like, hey, I noticed that soundcheck, you're still singing Fortunate Son in F. You know how hard that is? Like, I can't do that. He's like, yeah, I still sing in the same key. I was like, holy shit. So yeah, that guy's amazing.
No, that group, and by the way, when you went to that concert, I want to make you tell the story. That was in Las Vegas.
That was in Vegas, yeah.
That's when I had a show in Vegas.
That's right.
So you had drove to Vegas, and where was I? Was at the Tropicana, Bragg, performing.
Fancy.
John Fogerty was it at the Wynn Hotel? Was that right? Or MGM? Where was he performing?
He was at the Wynn, yeah.
He was at the Wynn. Okay, and then you went and saw it, and then you came to my show.
Your show, yeah.
It was like the late one or something. Danny, you'll love this. Rich, I'm like, where are you staying, Rich? He goes, that Hooters Hotel.
But Danny, listen to this story. That was bullshit. And if Priceline, if you're listening, I'm friggin' still pissed about this. So on Priceline, okay, says, 4-star hotel or equivalent to the Mandalay Bay. It says Mandalay Bay or equivalent, 4-star hotel. I'm like, okay, 119 a night. Sounds great. Dude, the Hooters Hotel is not equivalent to the fucking Mandalay Bay. Come on.
We hung out. Rich and I go like drinking and everything. Dude. And then he goes back to the hotel and then he texts me. He goes, I think I'm going to go get some wings. I was like, well, you're at the
right hotel
place. And then he's like, I got to tell you, you know, like the 3 a.m. wait staff is not the A team of.
Dude, the girl that brought wings to my room at 3 a.m. was pregnant. Like a pregnant woman brought me wings to my room at 3 a.m. I was like, oh my God. Can I give
you, like, were you like, is it mine?
The first year of this kid's life? Like,
oh my God. You know. Wings and motorboating.
I mean, that was, it probably wasn't her first child. So.
No.
That is really funny. I never even stepped into that hotel. I had a friend who stayed there and said it's pretty much what you think.
It's exactly what you think. It's like staying. It's like sleeping in a Hooters. It's like, I didn't want to sleep in a Hooters.
What were the rooms like?
They were just like. It's like if Motel 8 got kind of like a facelift. Oh, you know, it's like a nicer Motel 8. You're like sleazy. You know, it's just hard sleeping in there because you're like, you know, there's the black like comfort, light things like everywhere.
Suite like, with herpes or something. Like,
yeah. I mean, who actually wants who husband and wife stays in that room that actually paid for that room? You know, they're having the most like dirty biker sex of all time. Like, you know, it's just like, and now I'm sleeping there. And it's like, shit.
This is not doing anything to disabuse me of country music stereotypes. Like the country music, because I guess I always imagine that's where the country music people must stay, is at the Hooters.
No, it's not.
The country music people do stay at other places. They all have to stay in a barn or at a Hooters.
Yes. What's the equivalent to like New York, New York? Is it like...
oh, God, yeah.
St. Louis. Birmingham or something. Come stay at Birmingham. Biscuits and gravy at the buffet tonight.
Yeah.
That was truly, though, when I was in Vegas, that was one of the funniest things of you telling me that. You're like, I'm like, where are you staying at Hooters Hotel? Like, I honestly didn't even know they had a hotel.
Yeah, it used to be something else. It was like another shitty hotel before they bought it. I can't remember what it was, but.
Do you remember that Hooters had an airline for 6 months? Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. So they had this airline. Google it. It's hilarious.
I vaguely.
They bought like a shitty airline. They had like 30 planes. It was like Southwest. And they had like chicken wings and girls in the outfits. And they totally went bankrupt. I mean, only like perverted, horny dudes were flying it. But it's a good Google for a night. You should definitely Google Hooters Airlines.
I only hope the pilots were also Hooters girls. That's the only thing I'm hoping right here.
Tammy, we have some wind.
Hooters Airline.
All right, thank you for flying Hooters Airline. Okay, please, we're going to have a little turbulence as we
get in the event of a water landing. I can be used as a flotation device.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true.
Anyone wants any alcohol?
It's actually a fact.
Shots with you. Okay.
Body shots.
Probably those guys that are just flying all the time thinking that's their girlfriend. No, you don't.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah. He's in his mobility scooter, like taking up like 3 chairs. It's like... he's flying it to Kansas City and back.
Rich and I, okay, so both of you know my mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich, I have to tell about when we decided to have a mother dinner date.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, a couple of years ago. So Danny, you know how when I go back to Houston for Christmas, which I didn't do this year, I always will stay downtown Houston and I'll like go to a Texans game, Rockets game. And I usually do a comedy show with these guys called the Whiskey Brothers that do this Christmas show every year. And Rich, you performed at it.
Yeah.
And we started talking, we're like, we should go and like, my mom was going to come get me. And then we're going to go up to my sister's. I was like, oh, we should all go have dinner together. And Rich and I start talking about like, well, get ready. Cause my mom is might say some shit. You know, like Danny, Corky, she could
I understand.
And Rich was like, yeah, well, you haven't met my mother. And like, sure. You know, we'll see, you know, battle of the moms. Sure. Danny, I have to tell you, my mom to this day still laughs about it. She's like, we got an Uber, go to the restaurant. Rich and his mom were at the bar having a glass of wine. And we walk up, introduce moms, say hi. And the hostess, let me get you to your table. We hadn't even sat down. And I hear Rich's mom go, I got down to 3 cigarettes a day when I was pregnant with Richard.
Oh, Rich, my God.
Like, mom, what the fuck? And she's
You out Corky?
My mom was silent. Like, I've never seen my mom go like, whoa, I don't. My mom just has no filter. She just spurts it out.
No, I know.
But she met her match with Patricia. And Rich's mom, who I fucking love, looks so much like Kris Jenner. It's startling.
Yeah, she does a lot.
So much so that Kim Kardashian stopped her at the Burbank Airport and was like, oh my God, and took a picture with Rich's mom and posted it on her Instagram.
Yeah, posted on Instagram, My phone was like blowing up. I was like, they're like, dude, Kim Kardashian has posted a photo of your mom on her Instagram. I was like, what?
We'll have to link that to the one.
Yeah, we have to. Is your mom an influencer now?
No, God, no.
All I would have loved was to see Kim and your mother just really sit down and have a deep dinner dive, because I could only imagine the things that your mom would say to her.
I just have to like, I had to talk to my mom all the time about like, my mom's a really great person. She's just from a time, and like, Danny, you know this, like, you know, she's 67 now. So like we go eat Chinese food, she'll talk to the waiter really slow. She's like, I want hot mustard. Oh. I'm like, mom, they speak English. Like, you don't have to, you know, it's like that age where you're like, they're constantly, they, I don't know what it is. And I'm always nervous when I'm with her. I'm like, mom, what are you doing?
But it's kind of like, it's not, you know, I don't find it offensive when somebody doesn't know any better. Like,
no,
it's right. She doesn't know any better. She's not racist.
No, it's like this, just of a different generation. And
that's so funny.
But that was one of my favorite things, was your mom, before we even sat down, saying that she got down to 3 cigarettes a day with you.
And
you
she's like, hilarious. I mean, Danny, like, I have a really funny childhood. Jenny will like fill you in later, but it's like,
no, fill us all in here a little bit.
Oh no, it's great. Like, it'd be a great like sitcom. Like, I'm from a middle class family. Like, I wasn't raised like, I had a great childhood. I really did. It was just like, Jenny knows, it's like really funny because my dad was married and he had like 3 daughters. Uh-huh. He was going through a divorce, and he met my mom accidentally got pregnant. Then he went back to try to work it out with his wife.
Uh-huh.
She got pregnant. And so I have like an Irish twin. So I have a brother and we're 6 months apart.
Oh my God.
Then my dad left and didn't date either of them. So he like just left and was single and was like, dude, this is weird. You know, I don't know what's going on. So my mom, and then he remarried my mom when I was 5. So it was like one of those things where it was like, it was just funny. Like, it's just like, oh, everything about it was just comical.
Well, you told me this story about like, you're like, me and my brother and my dad are like at a restaurant or something, and y'all are playing around, and the, you know, like the server goes, oh, look at you two. And are you twins? No, I'm 6 months older. And then your dad's like, guys, remember what I told you in public.
No, every time in the car, my dad would be like, all right, we go in there. Do not tell him. I think we're actually 4.5 months apart. He's like, don't tell him you're 4 months apart. And the first thing out of my mouth, we're like both 7 years old, we're like, yeah, we're 4 months apart. Like, we couldn't not tell people that. We thought it was so freaking cool. And my dad and mom are just like, oh my God, you don't understand until you get older how embarrassing this is to your father.
Now, were the other woman's
wife? Well, he did it. It was his fault, so it shouldn't be.
Yeah, he did.
Was the other woman, the first wife, did she remain in your life for this period of time once the dad?
Not really. I think she took it kind of hard. Me and my brother and sisters, we're all like best friends. Like, we all get along. My sister's having a baby right now. Like, she was like, didn't want the marriage to end, you know, obviously, and probably saw my mom as like kind of a mistress or something. I don't think so. my mom was just like, yeah, your dad was divorced. I met him, I asked him 100 times, like, he was living in an apartment by himself, he was going through divorce, you know. And so she probably saw it like that, and so my mom and her didn't really get along. But my mom was a stepmom when they were married to all the kids, and so we're all a giant happy family. My dad just kind of had a little hiccup, and it's like, to me, it's comical, you know.
It's really fucking comical.
And also, it happened for you at such a young age; it was just your normal.
Yeah, it's my normal. I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool to have a little brother. We look alike, you know.
Oh, that's the best thing too. It's like, yeah, if somebody said y'all were twins, you ask how old you are. You're like, yeah, that's his twin. You're like, no,
his twin. Yeah.
The first time you're like, well, I have half siblings, and you're telling me I have half sister, and then my half brother and I are 4 months apart. I'm like, I'm gonna have to call a time.
Yeah. What is this?
Wait, what? I mean, my sister and I are like almost 2 years apart, and I thought that was crazy.
But the stereotype, they call that an Irish twin. Our last name's O'Toole, so it's like you fit the stereotype.
Oh, every part of it. That's so
like
funny.
We nailed it.
Oh, by the way, this picture is unbelievable.
Oh, a guy just texts us the picture of. This is the one that Kim took of your mom.
Yeah, it said like Chris Jenner.
I remember this weirdly.
Yeah, that's Rich's mom. Isn't that like hilarious?
That's crazy.
Yeah. She looks so much like, didn't your mom start growing her hair out too after that? She didn't like
it. Yeah, mom, it got ridiculous. She was in restaurants, and especially when she'd come visit me, we'd go eat in like Beverly Hills or we're in LA. There's like paparazzi, and I'd have to turn around and be like, this is not Kris Jenner. Like, stop.
Now, loving mother.
They just had the same bone structure and the same eyes and the same haircut. Like, it was just so weird that it all came apart. And my mom's looked like that for 30 years. So it wasn't like anything new. It's just when the Kardashians got famous, we were like, mom, you probably need to grow your hair out.
Now, I assume your dad looks like Caitlyn.
Looks like what?
Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah, yeah. I wish that would make it even better.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious, man. That family's so funny. You know, like, everyone loves to hate them, but, like, at the end of the day, they're just, you don't feel bad for them. You just, like, I don't know what you call it. You just,
I don't feel bad for them, but I do think that Chris,
they carved something out for themselves. Oh, I lost my camera. They carved something out for themselves. It was, you know, they did,
but that mom, I just can't get past like her kind of whoring her daughters out. You know, like,
yeah, for sure.
Quite literally whoring her.
Literally, like, she's the one who distributed that porn.
Right.
That, you know, Kim and Ray J had. And I remember when Kendall Jenner turned 18.
Yeah.
Tweeted like totally just, you know, a joke. And I was like, and 3, 2, 1 before her mom makes her, you know, like pose topless or something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh.
And I, of course, joking. And less than a week later, there were her nipples. Like,
yeah. Well, so like, the mom definitely did like whore mom. I mean, that was not cool. And, but I mean, look what they did. I don't know. Is that the new way of show business? I don't like it, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many other people to. It's so funny. Like, all of those little petty hatreds that I've had in the past, like, yeah. It's like, I just don't have time for it. Like, yeah. It's like, we're living like in a world of true monsters everywhere. And so it's like, I don't know. I kind of did a Jenny tweet the other day. It's sort of up your alley, but it's like Us Magazine on Twitter, like in the midst of all of this, they just post, Kim seen without ring, engagement ring publicly. And I just retweeted and I said, read the room, Us.
Yeah, yeah, read the room. Yeah.
It's like, who gives a shit?
She could have that ring shoved up her ass on full. Like, at this point, people are like, great, we've seen it all. Just next.
Yeah. Bigger
fish.
And the fact that we're even talking about it, that's what the saddest part is. Is you can't stop talking about it sometimes. Like, it's like, all right, next, let's go. But I mean, that's just kind of how it is. I mean, they carved out, Danny's right, they carved out something for themselves that like can't be ignored for some reason.
I feel like with like everything that happened, I guess I'm still like, somebody just posted like, what's PTSD without the P? That's what I have.
Yeah, yeah.
From seeing what happened at the Capitol, it's like, I'm still so like not over it. It was still so shocking that when I was watching it, like that evening, I'm like, oh, wait, there's a pandemic. Totally forgot about it.
Yeah. And not only is there a pandemic, 4,500 people died yesterday. It's like, yeah, it's records. It's just this record high. It's so bananas.
Are y'all having,
no, it's like 9/11, like every day. It's like the saddest thing in the world. It's so
sad. The amount of deaths, I mean, even hell, more so than 9/11.
Every day.
Do y'all feel like, because I feel like our listeners maybe would appreciate it, does it get to y'all? Do you have moments, like, I'll wake up and sometimes I feel like, you know that feeling you have when your alarm doesn't go off and you wake up and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you have a, that's how I felt.
For sure.
It's like, just because it's so much, it's so overwhelming what's happening in the world that it becomes like a fucking mental panic.
Do you get that, no, right?
I would say it again.
Do you get that? Do you feel that as well?
I do a lot. No, actually, so I did dry January. I was to the point where, like, you know, I'm not an alcoholic by any means, but like I was waking up every day so panicked. I couldn't wait till like noon to have a glass of wine and just like calm down. So I kind of gave myself, I was like, look, Rich, you can't be like ripping wine at noon every day just because like you're feeling this. But I do, I feel like I'm wearing a coat. Like, I feel like 2020 and 2000 and 2019, there's this like coat that I'm constantly wearing. When I step outside, when I go into places, when I go into restaurants and I'm talking to someone, I feel like I can't wait to take that coat off. And it's like this weight on this like anxiety pressure and almost like a little bit of depression. And I've never suffered from depression. I've had anxiety because musicians, I'm on stage, yada, yada, yada. But not like this year. I mean, this year was just like, I didn't pick up a guitar for 6 months. I didn't want to write. I didn't want to do anything. You know, I was like just hard even getting out of bed because I was like, man, I just don't. The world seems, everyone's scared. Everyone's just obnoxiously blaming and finger pointing. You can't walk into a Walgreens and if you sneeze or cough, everyone's just like, oh, there he is. There's the reason. And it's just sad, you know, and I think everyone has that. And that's what's causing so much hysteria in our country is everyone's real. I think a lot of people are feeling that, you know.
I definitely am. Like, I've never suffered from depression, thank God. I definitely had anxiety like you. But
yeah,
I will say that from like, the holiday season till almost like last week, I was in as dark a place as I've ever been. Like, not like I was gonna hurt my, but I just was like, that feeling of hopelessness. And, you know, it was like, I have a shit ton of personal stuff because I'm, you know, going through a divorce. And it was just like, all of that was coming out. And then the uncertainty about the business world. And like, it just was like, ugh. I reached out to friends of mine who I knew suffer from depression. And I just was, is this how you feel all the time when you're not? And it's like, fuck, I'd rather have physical pain, I think.
Yeah.
What I was just feeling.
Yeah. Cause physical pain, it's like, oh, I broke my finger. That hurts. I can
understand.
It hurts.
Yeah.
When you're just laying there going, I don't want to get out of bed. What's wrong? Like, why?
If I hurt my leg, I just limp to the car and be totally cool. But like when you have that depression, you don't even want to walk to your car. You don't even want to go do anything.
No.
And just that feeling is this, I understand it now. Like, I never understood depression until like, I think we've all kind of gone through that with this, and it's, man, it's debilitating. That's what the word is. It just kind of takes your legs out from underneath you and you're just like, man, I don't want to do anything.
I know.
It's really tough. And I feel like all of our listeners are, because there's so many people that I know are going through this, and I feel like it's probably best to just talk about it too, so that other people don't feel less alone. That you know, everyone is, you know, it's been so much, and there's just so much anger in the world too, that like, that, you know, everything feels too much at times. And I've noticed that, I've read so many different things about people that have, like, somebody's committed suicide or whatever. I keep seeing that, and I'm just like, man, this is as bad as it gets, you know?
Yeah.
They're just saying the numbers are, people aren't forgetting about the suicide numbers are skyrocketing. I mean, so not only are we, you know, COVID is killing people, we're also killing people financially, mentally. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a full spectrum that's causing a lot of stuff to go down. And that's terrible, you know?
Yeah. The PSA for this, which we don't normally do, but is, if you haven't heard from a friend in a little while, call them. I'll say reach out to people. First of all, it'll make you feel better, but you may like be that thing that like sort of pulls somebody out.
Yeah.
You know?
Never know. Just like a text or somebody.
Yeah. Anything. Yeah.
When you're in such a dark place and you just even get something that's positive, this little light in the midst of all this, it makes such a huge difference.
Send a fax.
Yeah, send a
fax.
Yeah,
people. You know, we had a good idea.
Telegram, you know.
My buddies and I did this. We had a friend that's kind of in a dark spot, and yeah. we know that he loves gumbo. Uh-huh. And so he loves cooking gumbo and shit, you know. And so we all texted him and said, hey, we're having gumbo night, but we set it for like a month and a half in advance. So it gave him something to look forward to. You know, it's one of those things where if he's in a really dark place or if he was like going to hurt himself, he probably would wait because he knows how much he looks forward to that, to like gumbo night with me and the boys, you know. So that's another good idea is like if you know someone really likes something, set a date with them, but do it like a month in advance so it gives them like a window of hope.
Well, yeah, like having something to look forward to. It makes a huge difference. So where you're like, oh, in 2 weeks I'm doing this, and then you get like, okay, cool, I'm
all right. Yeah, going on. I'll get my shit together by then. Yeah, we'll figure
it out. And I think that that's super important. And I hope that everybody, definitely, like Danny said, check in with your friends. If
it makes a difference, man, it does. Okay, well, now we're at the part of the show where we talk about what we've been like thinking about, what we've been watching, not thinking about, like what. What you know? What's gotten you through the pandemic, Rich? Anything anything you stream that you like, or any recommendations?
Just everything. I've been having weird tastes. Like this week, I've been watching all of John Hughes's films.
You can't go wrong
just
with
them. All of them. Just how they're shot, how they're all shot in Chicago.
Yeah.
I kind of had a revelation this week.
Okay.
So like my friends were like, watch Bridgerton. Have you seen Bridgerton on Netflix?
I haven't yet. No, it's like a real like bodice ripper. They say, right? It's like period.
It's like a period piece, like kind of softcore period piece porn type stuff, but real British, real like takes place in the 1700s. Everyone's dressed like the 1700s, and it's funny. So it's written on the fact that like nothing existed as we know right now. It's just written as a period piece. So I'm watching it, and the first 5 minutes, the queen of England is black. So my internal clock, I'm history minor, internal clock stops and goes, well, this can't be true. The queen's black. and so it's written on the fact that it's written to the point where if slavery didn't exist, if nothing existed, there's a princess black, like, you know, there's a lot of black characters in this, which I realized, I was like, I'm not a racist person by any means, but it stopped me in my tracks going, she can't be queen. And then I realized, I was like, yeah, she can. This isn't, someone wrote this not following the guidelines of, you know, what happened from the 1600s on, you know?
I think Hamilton sort of prepped us for this.
They did.
You know, he kind of did that too. And I think that's the most interesting thing I've heard about that. So I might check that out now.
I kind of felt that way about Schitt's Creek, where they built a world, a town where there's no racism. There's no homophobia.
Everybody's never addressed. Okay with, I know.
And that's something that, like, watching it, it took me a while to go, wait, oh, there's the gay couple. And everyone's just like, oh, well, there's such and such. You don't get that whispering.
Well, do you remember the movie Lars and the Real Girl with Ryan Gosling, and he had that doll that he was in love with? You ever see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I loved about that movie was everybody was just totally supportive in this little small town of him, kind of eccentric guy who was in love with a sex doll.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, you do you, man. Good
and
for
it
you.
Was like, I kind of dug that.
I just watched it. I started watching Ted Lasso.
I got to watch
it. I haven't gotten to that. Okay. Yeah.
No, I've heard good things about it, but haven't watched it. I sat down, I watched the entire season in one sitting. It was so good. And I have to say, it was so positive and uplifting. And like, there's moments where you'll cry, but it's out of like kindness, you know, like, it's really, really, I highly recommend it. I mean, I watched it. I was like, I said, Bill Lawrence, who did the show, I was like, I fucking love Ted Lasso. He's like, thank you. So I was so blown away by it because it was just, it's so well done. The acting's great. The writing's great, but it was such a positive, wonderful thing to watch during.
A buddy of mine wrote on that show, Bill Rubel. I'm going to watch it.
But for Brett Goldstein, I don't know if you know Brett. I've done stand-up and stuff with him. He's in it and he's fantastic. Jason Sudeikis is phenomenal, but highly recommend that.
Yeah, I need to see that. I'll put it on my list.
Wonder Woman 1984.
The best movie I've ever seen.
I started watching it 2 weeks ago. It's still going.
That movie it's unbelievable. Like everybody told me how bad it was. I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this. And it was worse.
It was worse.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was funny that it's like, it's called Wonder Woman. She's never called Wonder Woman. She's Diana.
Right.
I'm like, well, my mom's friends are named Diana. And the villain was Barbara. I'm like, are we really? Diana and Barbara?
It had no reason to be in the 80s. They exploited that not at all. Also, for the whole movie, which they never talk about, Wonder Woman is raping some guy because it's just his body. Like, we don't know. Like, we don't even care. Oh, who cares? Chris Pine came in and took his body. We're just totally fine with that. We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, some guy that has been fully fucking, you know, Patrick Swayze ghosted.
Yeah.
She's just going to town on this guy.
It's just the stupidest, horrible movie.
Yeah, it was. Another thing I watched on Disney Plus was that movie Soul.
I like that. Did you like
Loved it?
I haven't seen that yet.
Fucking loved it. I didn't know anything about what it was about, and neither. I loved it.
I thought Soul was fantastic. And I mean, there are Pixar movies, like, I still probably like Coco more, but I will say the animation in Soul World, where they is some of the coolest animation I've ever seen in anything. It's just fantastic. And it's such heart, and it was beautiful.
I'll watch that tonight. Yeah, definitely watch it. And when you see these images of them in New York, the way that New York looks, like this animation, I was blown away. I couldn't believe like how that's so crazy how they can do that now. Like just the things that
gorgeous.
It's getting wild. I think in 20 years from now, what they're gonna be able to do just can blow my mind. I mean, right. 10 years ago we had a flip phone. 10 years ago, right? When did the iPhone come out? In like 2008?
Right, like 2006 or something. I think maybe.
Do you know that after the Capitol Hill thing, you know that shot of Lindsey Graham going through the airport being
yelled at?
That motherfucker had a flip phone.
Of course he did.
Yeah, of course
he did. I recorded it. I'll text it to both of you. He had a flip phone. I was like, that's par for the course for Lindsey Graham. Why wouldn't you have a flip phone?
Yeah.
Motorola Razr. Danny, what have you watched?
So both of those things, Wonder Woman 84, Soul, I got hooked on. A friend of mine recommended this series, and it's a French series subtitled called, out here it's called Call My Agent. Mm-hmm. And I guess there it was called 10% in French. And it's about this talent agency in Paris, and they bring in real actors. I didn't realize this till way long into it that it was like, oh, those are actual actors. But the characters in it are so good. It's funny. I mean, it's French, so there's like, they do a couple stupid things. Yeah. But the plot sometimes relied on too much coincidence, which is like something in French farce. But it was really like amazing and good.
Where is that at?
All My Agent on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Okay.
And season four comes out. And they did three seasons. And season four comes out in like a week. I can't wait.
Fantastic. Oh wow! Call me. All right, I'm putting that on
my agent. Yeah,
I haven't watched a couple of these. I mean, I haven't even heard of some.
I haven't heard of this one either. So, well, that's Rich, all I got.
That's all I've got. Rich, is there anything you want to promote or any?
Yeah, please.
Where can people find you on social media?
Everywhere. I mean, my last name's unique, so it's like just type in Rich O'Toole on Google, it'll pop up, or just in Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music. I don't. How do people listen to music? Like Danny, how do you listen to music?
I do Spotify and Apple Music. I have both of them.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So if you got one of those, if you're one of those like weird guys that listens to like Deezer or like Tidal or something, I don't know, whatever.
I just type Tidal, it in. Deezer. I bet we have some Pandora people out there.
Pandora, yeah.
Let me hear from the Pandora
type people. In and listen to it.
I like Pandora. I'm not mad at it. Wait, your album that you have in New York, can we like put a link or something to that?
Sure, yeah. Just copy paste the link from Spotify or Apple Music
or
whatever.
We can do that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks for having me on, guys.
I appreciate it, Rich.
It was a pleasure. And when this is all over, I'd love to come see you live and or at least just drink with you.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, I'll let you know. I'll be in LA probably next month when all this, everything opens back up, but probably not. Okay. They probably won't open it back up. But we'll sit down. We'll all go to lunch or something. I'd love to, man. That sounds amazing.
Awesome. Rich, you're as they say in Texas, you're a mensch.
Thank you, Danny. I'm trying to think of a Texas word.
Just call me Jude.
I don't know. What do they say in Texas? Jenny, help me out here. What do they say in Texas?
Bless your heart, Danny. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
You're a real live Jew.
Yeah. You're one of the good ones. You're one of
Jewish, the biggest thing between Jewish people, like I'm Catholic, is they just believe in they still believe in the same God. They just believe that Jesus didn't come after the Old Testament, right?
Some of us didn't believe Jesus. We just don't believe Jesus was the Son of God.
That's right. That's all it is.
It's basically like the original, the sequel we thought fell off a little bit.
Yeah, fell off a little bit. That's all it is, yeah. So yeah, it's like, yeah.
I'm wearing my I Heart Jew shirt.
I know. I'm going to get my I Heart Christians next time.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys.